Dates and on the 28th of August, 1979. Visasana is brought to light, or arises from, one who possesses great strenuous exertion and diligent effort, from one who is possessed with a great degree of endurance and perseverance, from one who is possessed with great wisdom, from one who is possessed with great mastery. All that is good and virtuous arises from the Lord Buddha, who is the great Sasada of the world. Therefore, the Sasana Dhamma expounded by the Lord is perfect and correct, worthy of respect, and something to take up and follow in one's practice. In every respect, and without having any exception, for they are all important. This is because all of them make people good, and are the means of getting rid of all the harm and poisons created by the kilesas, by gradually getting rid of them until they are totally eliminated. It is similar to the way clean water washes away dirty things, so that everything can become clean and pure. Our hearts have been filthy and dirty for a long time, since time immemorial, to the extent where we are not capable of knowing what they actually are, and what they are immersed in, and for how long they have been so immersed. If this is compared to an arrowhead, then it is fully embedded, with all this impurity and filth that covers the citta entirely, so that the citta and these things become one and the same thing, and it is not possible to differentiate them through ordinary means of perception. The only way to find out about these things is through the means of the practice of citta bhavana. The Lord realized the truth and washed out all the filth and impurities from his heart with Dhamma. And it was through the way of practice and investigation that the Lord Buddha appeared in the world for all of us to pay our respects to and express our admiration for. It was the same way with the Savaka. When the Lord Buddha first expounded the teaching of Dhamma to the first of the Savakas, the five ascetics, the Lord expounded the way of practice. He taught the way of eradicating all the filth and impurities that are embedded within the heart. When the Savakas listened to the teaching, they listened for true knowledge and insight. They listen with true meditation and reflection, because they were all of high attainments. These five ascetics were of the Ukati Danyu, those who are capable of realizing Dhamma very quickly, having sati and panya to reflect and investigate, following along what had been taught to them during the time that they were listening to the instruction. This was because they had all already established the state of calm within their hearts to the utmost of their ability and satipanya, to the extent where some of them might think that they had attained to the ultimate result. This is because this calm and cool-heartedness is totally devoid of the world. That is, the world is not capable of entering into this state of calm. It is the citta that is possessed with a very stable state of calm. The only problem was that they were not capable of discerning the very subtle kinds of kilesa that were still embedded within their hearts. For this reason, when the Lord Buddha expounded the Dhamma of the four Arya Sajja, the four noble truths, which is the Dhamma Chakra, all of them were able to attain to the eye of Dhamma. They were capable of perceiving the truth of all the Sapava Dhamma, both those internal ones within themselves and those that exist everywhere else. Like when the Venerable Anya Gondanya exclaimed when he came across the first stage of truth, Yang kinchi samudaya dhammang sabbantang nirodha dhammang. Whatever arises or comes into existence must also cease or come to cessation. This was something that had deeply impressed the heart of the Venerable Anya Gondanya. And when the Lord had finished expounding the discourse of the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the Lord exclaimed the following, Anyasi Vattapo Gondanyo, Anyasi Vattapo Gondanyo. The Venerable Anya Gondanya has now understood. The Venerable Anya Gondanya has now understood. Anya Gondanyo Taveva Namang Ahositi. From henceforth, he is to be known as Anya Gondanya. It is necessary to depend on listening, for this is part of the practice, as well as practicing on one's own. For this is what the Lord Buddha taught us. The Lord Buddha himself had exerted and practiced to the utmost of his ability. In his striving and practicing for Dhamma, he had to pass unconscious before he could attain to the penetration and realization of all the Dhamma. So when he taught the Dhamma to the Savaka, he had to teach them the way that he had trod and practiced. The practice of Dhamma is the most important facet of his teaching. For this reason, both the Lord Buddha and all of the Savakas had attained to Dhamma and the realization of true knowledge and insight through the way of practice. They did not accomplish their task through the means of studying, like the way the world studies both the Dhamma and the worldly knowledge, for that was not the way. When they listened as a way of practice, for they reflected and meditated on the truth that the Lord Buddha was expounding to them during that time. When they practiced on their own, they also practiced in accordance with the principles of truth that the Lord Buddha had taught to them. The results that came forth were the results that were very satisfying. Earlier on, we were talking about the citta that is possessed with all kinds of filth and impurities. Since it hasn't been cleansed of these impurities, The citta is therefore completely full of filth. It is dark and dirty all over, to the extent that we cannot make out what the citta really is. This is because it is entirely wrapped up and covered. We are therefore not capable of seeing the truth, which is the citta. For this reason, we have to practice, for the practice is the way of washing away all the impurities and cleansing the filth within the heart. Doing this gradually, beginning with the stage of sila and going up to samadhi. This stage of samadhi is important because samadhi leads us right into the citta. Thereafter, we then progress into the stage of panya. Samadhi is the means of rounding up the citta, or rounding up the kilesas into convergence. Once the kilesas have come to convergence, not going out and dispersing to the various directions, like the various sights, sounds, smells, tastes, and touches, the kilesas will then not bother or disturb us. There will then appear calm and cool-heartedness. Panya will then do the work of cleansing by doing the investigation into the various aspects that the heart is entangled with. What kind of aramana is the heart involved with? And what kind of rupa? Is it the rupa of man or woman, or of the various things of many kinds found within the world? What kind of rupa is the citta more inclined towards and more attached to? Panya will take up that particular object and use it as the object of investigation through the means of sati and panya. For instance, if one is attached to a rupa that is pleasant and beautiful, and that incites and stirs up the citta and the kilesas, creating obsessions and infatuations and passions for this rupa, which clouds the heart, causing it to become restless and agitated, to the extent where one cannot stand on one's own. This is due to the accumulation of the power of these external things, plus one's own presume and assume perception. Both of these factors combine and converge into the citta, which causes nervousness and anxiety to arise. Therefore, it is necessary for panya to investigate and analyze this particular rupa or form. What is the reason for the heart's attachment to it? Before, when one hadn't seen this form, one didn't have any obsession or affection for it. But now, after having seen it, one is full of agitation and restlessness. That particular aramana now sticks with the citta all the time. What is the reason for this? Such is the technique of doing the investigation. One must now take that form and investigate into the particular part which causes one to become attached to it and be obsessed by it. Where are these parts? At first, the citta will take the entire form. So one must investigate the whole body, beginning from the skin, then from the hair of the head, going down to the skin, and then through the skin, going inside to the inside of the skin, then the flesh, the sinews, the bones, and the internal things, both the new and the old food. one has to investigate thoroughly and entirely with panya, doing this repeatedly many, many times, over and over again. One must then establish it to see it breaking apart, or as a bloated corpse. Even when one is still living, this body is entirely full of filth, as far as beauty and good looks are concerned. This is the affair of the kilesas, the chiefs of deception, that deceive the citta to make it deluded in the things that are not pretty or pleasant, making it to see them as something pleasant and something beautiful. This then causes the citta to take delight in them and have obsessions for them. This is how the deceptions work. Therefore, panya has to correct this deception. What is the tendency of this deception? Panya must correct the tendency of the kilesas to deceive. For instance, the tendency to have the perception of beauty. What beauty is there really? One must probe and examine, for this is the truth. As far as beauty is concerned, this is not the truth, and neither is good looking, and the same way with lovely or attractive. They are not something to lose one's heart to. These are not the truth. They are the deception, the tricks of the kilesas. The Dhamma is the truth that can be used to correct these things, right there and then. For one will be able to see that these things are really not pretty or good looking. There is only a very thin sheet of skin that wraps up these things that we call men and women. It is not even as thick as a sheet of paper. These things fool and deceive us, making us foolish and making us see things as something pretty or good looking, following the dictates of the kilesas, the deceptive ones. The deeper we investigate into this body, the more we will come to see the filth and the repulsive things. This is the truth. Where are the things that the kilesas create as something beautiful and pleasant? There is no such thing. The kilesas just fool us. We have to see it in this way. For this is panya. We have believed in the kilesas for a long time, and we have undergone dukkha for a long time, due to the kilesas that oppress and burden the heart. There are many kinds of kilesas. There are those that fool us to see things as pleasant and beautiful. There are those that fool us to have affection and delight for things. There are those that deceive us to presume and assume until they become the Dhamma Ramana, turning into the fire of Raga Tanha that is constantly smoldering within the heart. There are many kinds of deceptive kilesas. Both the cause and the result of the kilesas are burning hot. They are all deception. It is therefore necessary to correct them with Dhamma, which is the truth. Concerning beauty, where is beauty? Take a good look. One must see according to the truth, which is the principle of Dhamma. Our perceptions must not go against the truth, for this is the way of the kilesas, which are the opposition to Dhamma, as well as our own opposition. We have to analyze and differentiate this entirely. beginning from the skin going inwards. We have to look at it thoroughly, both the inner and the outer part, going over it again and again, many, many times, with sati and panya. We have to be thorough, like a fine-tooth comb. Investigate again and again, repeatedly. Examine again and again. Wherever we look, we can only see filth and impurity within our own bodies. Every part, every organ, every piece. We cannot find any beauty or pleasantness in them, and neither can we find people or animals in them, such that we can have affection and delight in them. There are no such things. There is only empty wind, without any substance, that deceives and fools us. There is no genuine truth in them. And why one is still living, this is what it is like. Now let us see what it is like when it dies, or when it becomes old. What does it look like? Let's look at it to see what it is like when it is dead. Even if it is the body of a young man or a woman, when it dies, it is just full of filth and impurity that fester and stink. There is no worse impurity than that of a dead body, a body that is going to the state of festering and bloating, and that decomposes, breaks apart, and disperses right there and then. This is the complete stage of particular, or filth, and impurity. This is the complete Dhamma that can correct the perception of beauty entirely. We have to investigate to see it like that, following the way of Panya, which is the weapon of Dhamma that can totally destroy all of our presumption and assumption, which are the tricks or affairs of the kilesas. Let us get to see the truth very clearly, both in the cause and the results. How then will the citta not be able to withdraw itself, or uproot itself from this presumption and assumption, or misperception, which are the tricks and deceptions of the kilesas? The citta cannot do otherwise, but uproot itself from them. This is the technique of Panya. Concerning sound, this is just the wind from the mouth. Both the good and the bad sounds that pass through our ears, if we don't make any presumption or assumption about them, then they are just like wind that blows in and out through our ears. When people criticize us or praise us, or when we hear the good tunes of music, these are due to the presumption and assumption of the heart. It is the heart that presumes and assumes, and draws up the pictures about these things, and becomes obsessed and immersed in the pleasure of them. This is one form or tune of the kilesas, which arise from the heart by depending on the tune of the music as the cause. The heart then draws up the image and becomes obsessed and infatuated with it. This is deception, and it is the trick of the kilesas. But truly, this is just wind. It is like the wind that blows on the leaves, if we don't make up any presumption and assumption to deceive us. For when they arise and then cease. They just arise and cease. When we investigate, we don't have to investigate the form, sounds, smells, tastes, and touches all together, or all of them. We only have to pick any one of them that suits our temperament, that suits our heart's inclination. We focus our attention on that particular object. Then our realization and insight will penetrate through to all the other external things that come into contact with the heart. Furthermore, we have to investigate ourselves to use as a comparison with the external things, like the other rupa, or forms. The other forms are like that. What is this form like? This form is exactly similar to that form. There are no differences between them in every part or organ of the body, either inside or outside. They are full of particular, filth and impurities, just like the external forms that we have investigated. Every part of them is similar. There isn't even the slightest difference between them to create any doubts or attachment to the body, claiming it as I and mine, or as something worth cherishing and being possessive of. For this is just the way of supporting the foundation of the kilesas to become firmer and more subtle, which will then burden and oppress the heart immeasurably with dukkha. This is the aspect of paññā. What has been briefly sketched and discussed is the technique of paññā, the way of investigation and the cleansing of the heart. Wherever the heart is entangled and becomes involved, there one must cut it off with the means of investigation, going against the current of flow of the kilesas. The kilesas flow along their own current, but we have to go against the flow of the kilesas. Following the flow of the kilesa is entirely the way of deceiving ourselves. But going against the flow of the kilesas and correcting them, doing it blow for blow, this is the way of Dhamma. Investigating like this is paññā. When one has investigated like this relentlessly and consistently, when the time for investigation is appropriate, and rested in the state of samadhi, when the time is appropriate, one's state of samadhi will be firm. One will be peaceful and cool-hearted, for this depends on the power of calm of the heart, as well as the power of sati paññā that investigates, analyzes, and differentiates, and clears away everything so that the heart can become free, and free from doubt, and not being entangled with these things that can create the aramana within the heart. The heart will become calm and peaceful, bold and courageous, sublime and magnificent, as a result of being supported by the power of sati paññā. One must continue on relentlessly with the investigation. Take this work as the most vital work of the practitioner, who is desirous of freedom from dukkha. One must not make any speculation, conjecture, or assumption about the various theories on the Magga, Pala, and Nibbana. concerning the time and place where this Magga, Kala, and Nibbana may be found. In the time of the Lord Buddha, people attained to the Magga, Kala, and Nibbana in the mountains and forests. How did they practice? They practiced the same way that we have just discussed, following the Dhamma taught by the Lord Buddha, without the slightest deviation from it. It hasn't deviated from the principle of truth, enough to make it impossible for us to eradicate the kilesas with it. This is the Dhamma principle that is capable of eliminating and destroying all the kinds of kilesas. And this is the Majjhima Patipada, the middle way of practice. This is the Dhamma that is suitable for the time. It is the Dhamma that is suitable for the suppressing and eliminating of all the kilesas. They cannot be beyond this Dhamma, which is the Majjhima Patipada, the most suitable Dhamma that can eliminate and totally get rid of the kilesas from the heart, turning the heart into a state of purity. Apart from this Dhamma, nothing else can do the job. There isn't a single kilesa that can be superior to this Dhamma, the Majjhima. During the time of the Lord Buddha, they used the Majjhima Dhamma as the means of overcoming the kilesas, all of them, from the Lord Buddha himself, down to all of the Savakas. The kilesas were of the same kind. They were raga tanha, greed, hate, and delusion. We all have them similarly, and they are found within our hearts. We must depend on the principle of Dhamma in our way of investigation. We have to depend on the Dhamma weapon of sati and panya as the means of contending with our opposition. And just as in the time of the Lord Buddha, the kilesas must definitely disappear from the heart, just like they did in the past. Undoubtedly, it is not the time and place which can eliminate the kilesas. They can only disappear from the place which is the heart. And the time is when sati and panya have been brought to full maturity. It is in the heart that the kilesas can be cut off. We have to really put in our effort. One who has gone forth is one who is really tough, who can really endure and persevere, as we have said earlier about the Lord Buddha, the great Sāsadā, the founder of the Sāsana. It was the Lord who was well accomplished. Now let us bring it closer to ourselves. To whom did the Lord Buddha pass on his accomplishment? The Lord gave it to us. To whom did the Lord pass on the application of energy and diligent effort? He gave them to us. This is viriya. Chanda is satisfaction. What are we satisfied with? We are satisfied or happy with the Magga, Pala, and Nibbana. We must therefore be satisfied with our strenuous exertion. Chanda is to be satisfied in the work that can deliver us from dukkha, and that accords with our aim and intention. Viriya is the application of one's energy and putting in the effort. For this reason, the follower of the Tathagata must be possessed with viriya, chanda, and citta, being concentrated and attentive to one's work, the work of citta bhavana, not relenting or putting it down. Regardless of time and place, or the posture of one's exertion, one must be constantly blended and harmonized with these four iddhipada, the four ways to power. They are chanda, viriya, citta, vimamsa. Vimamsa refers entirely to panya. We must constantly be involved with these four dhamma. And then it is quite certain that we will triumph in our battle sometime in the future. And while we are progressing along, we will steadily win. The follower of the Tathagata is one who has gone forth. If he is not possessed with diligent effort, then who in this world can be possessed of it? If he doesn't have any perseverance and endurance, then who in this world can? The sasana is the core, the basis of heart, of the world. We are the practitioners of the sasana, as is our duty and as accords with our intention. How can we not develop this dhamma within our heart, building ourselves to be strong and capable in the way of goodness, with the means of sati, panya, satta, and virya? Is this really possible? We have to be earnest and serious with ourselves, which is being earnest and serious with the kilesas. When we contend with them, we have to really fight. We can't just play around, for this is not the way of the Lord Buddha, who had passed beyond dukkha. This is not the way of the Savakas, who had transcended dukkha also. We must not be weak and lazy, flabby and wishy-washy, or expedient and careless. We have to be real and earnest in all of our work, both the internal and external. Whatever we do, we have to set our hearts to it, being concentrated and attentive to the work that we are doing. This is the earnestness and seriousness of the practitioner. When one does the exertion of the heart, the citta will become concentrated and attentive, so that the work that the citta is doing will be real, like the way one does things externally. This is because we have trained ourselves in that way. This is the way to do it for the practitioner. If one is desirous of coming across the Magga, Phala and Nibbana, for they will not appear anywhere else, but within the heart, that is right now surrounded by the kilesas. When we have practiced and have been constantly getting rid of them, until every kind of kilesa is totally eliminated from the heart, it will not be necessary for us to ask where Nibbana is, for that is just the name Nibbana. The term kilesas refers to those clouding and obscuring influences in the heart. Panya is circumspect wisdom and discernment, the important instrument for the eradication and elimination of the kilesas, which are extremely cunning and crafty. But they cannot be greater than the power of Dhamma, especially that of sati, panya, satta and virya. These are the most significant dhammas. We have to be firm and resolute in our practice, and we must not be heedless and negligent. We must constantly concentrate on just the dhamma of the present and the citta of the present. Don't speculate about the past and the future, or about this place and that place, where we can get rid of the kilesas, or where we can attain to the magga, phala, and nibbana. They are not anywhere else, but in the heart. The kilesas themselves never speculate or imagine. So how do they manage to rule over the heart of all sentient beings? When we want to practice for the eradication of the kilesas, why do we have to seek for this or that place, or for this and that time? This can only cause amusement for the kilesas and make them laugh at us. We have to dig and explore right here. Let's face it, even if it is hard, even if it is dukkha. So long as we are not dead people and we have to exert ourselves, then we have to experience dukkha, be it the work in the way of the world or the work in the way of Dhamma. Any form of work or exertion demands effort. We all know this very well, because we have experienced many works before. We must not take work as our obstacle by thinking that it is too hard or too difficult. But we must think that to be free from the work of uprooting the thorns in the heart is the most satisfying thing. This is the important basis for the practitioner. One's heart must be firm and resolute. If we haven't had any samadhi before, we can develop it so that it can appear. Why does it not arise? Wherever the citta wants to go, sati and panya can round it in. The citta can be controlled. If sati and panya cannot master the citta, then nothing else in this whole world can do it. Sati and panya have power over the kilesas and over the citta. The citta only knows. It doesn't know about good and bad, coarse and subtle things, superficially or profoundly. It doesn't know how to think and reflect. It just knows. It is just like an insane person who only has the faculty of knowing, and who does things following his whims and fancies that are dictated by the kilesas. But he doesn't have sati and panya to take care of him and be responsible for his actions. So he falls into the category of these people. We can see this ourselves. This is the way of one who doesn't have any sati. He is totally devoid of sati and panya. All that he has is just the knowingness that is surrounded by the kilesas and mastered by them. That is why he has to behave in such a pathetic and disgusting way. We have seen this in the various places. This is the person without any sati, totally devoid of any mindfulness, and totally lacking in panya. But we are not the ones totally lacking in sati and panya. We have sati and panya, just like all other ordinary people. We are normal. Here we want to develop and accumulate sati and panya beyond the ordinary level for the purpose of gradually and steadily correcting the kilesas. This can be accomplished as we steadily develop our sati and panya by constantly training and disciplining ourselves. We have to develop until we have arrived at the stage of mahasati and mahapanya. that turn around by themselves naturally, quickly and efficiently, with skillfulness and smoothness. This is the consequence of our constant development and training of ourselves. Though in the beginning stages, it might be an uphill struggle, eventually we can arrive at skillfulness and proficiency. This is due to our relentlessly striving in the developing and training of ourselves. This is the sati and panya that will eradicate and eliminate every kind of kilesa that is found within the heart. It will totally get rid of them. Neither the time nor the place can prevent the one who practices following in the way of Dhamma from attaining to the state of freedom and deliverance. Sanditigo, the experiencing and realizing within each individual practitioner, is not only reserved for the Lord Buddha himself, but it is something that belongs to each individual practitioner who practices in accordance with Dhamma. One will experience and realize it within oneself. This is true in the time of the past, and in the present, and in the future, because all of these Dhammas that have been presented are for the purpose of correcting the kilesas. It is solely for the Magga, Phala, and Nibbana. There isn't a single aspect of Dhamma that is behind the times. It is only the kilesas that are behind the times, and that are the things that weigh down and burden us, that retard the progress of the world and our hearts, so that we cannot come up with any happiness. As soon as the Dhamma can enter into the citta, then the citta will begin to move into the state of calm and cool-heartedness immediately. It is right with the times. We will steadily catch up with the times until the stage of sati and panya that is fully up with the times. Then all the kilesas, every kind, will be totally destroyed. Every aspect of Dhamma taught by the Lord Buddha is designed for this particular purpose. Please set up your understanding likewise. This Dhamma is not futile or unfruitful. We must not labor in vain or play with our practice. This is not the Dhamma principle of the Lord Buddha, for this will at least slow our progress, and at worst, it can ruin ourselves due to our wrong view and wrong perception, which is adverse to Dhamma, as well as to ourselves. So when it is adverse to us, how can it not be harmful? It can only cause us hardship and dukkha. Please be determined and set your heart on the practice. Don't pay any attention to or have any interest for any other thing in the world. We have for a long time been born amidst the world of anicjang, dukkhang, and anatta. We have experienced enough of the things that enter into our eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, and heart, to the extent where we shouldn't have any questions about them. But with Dhamma, we haven't experienced it yet within our hearts, like the way we have experienced the world. From the first day of our birth to the present, we should by now have lost our curiosity and perplexity about the world, and be now only interested in Dhamma, so that we can experience it within ourselves, and so that we can use it as a basis of comparison, comparing it with those things that we have enjoyed in the past, and had some happiness from, and those things that we have suffered from in the past, and had some dukkha from. Let us find out which is more worthy, the world or the Dhamma, that we can develop within ourselves. See how they differ. See this within ourselves. Experience this within our hearts. Then we will have no doubts or questions. Concerning letting go, if we don't know and understand, how can we let go of them? We have to know first before we can let go. If we know little, we can only let go of little. Letting go of those things which we have been attached to. They are the treasures of the world of anicjang, dukkhang, and anatta. We must steadily let go. And what is the reason for letting go of them? This is because what we have seen and experienced is much more worthy than the things that we used to be attached to. And when the things that we have realized and experienced within ourselves become so immensely worthy, or when we have come to the ultimate worth, then we will let go of everything. All the things within the three realms of existence are nothing like as worthy as the state of deliverance from dukkha. They are nothing like as valuable as the citta that has attained to the state of purity. This is where it transcends the world. And that is why we have to let go steadily. When Dhamma is higher than the things that we are attached to, then we will let go of those things. We gradually let go of them until we reach the highest stage. Then we let go of everything. Then even the citta that has attained to the state of purity also doesn't attach to itself. It doesn't have attachment for itself. And how may we arrive at this stage? It is due to the striving and exertion of the practitioner. When we take up the robe, we have a particular goal. We didn't take up the robe without any purpose. We have gone forth with discipline and principle. Our citta has determination and intention. Therefore, our exertion has to conform with our aim and intention. We must not be weak and wishy-washy. Sati is terribly important. We must not forget this. I have constantly said this. Sati is absolutely vital in the field or sphere of practice. We use panya from time to time, but with sati, there is no exception as to the time and place. The only exception is when we fall asleep. If we can maintain our sati like this, then our sati will be immensely speeded up. Please set up this understanding. End of Deshana.